Found in Acts, the 27th chapter. It's a familiar portion of Scripture, and I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you about it. Beginning with verse 13, we find the Apostle Paul on board ship in the midst of an awful storm. And they battled it for days, and it looked like maybe all hope was gone. You know, there's a lot of individuals this morning on that same ship. They're out there cut loose. It's an overcast sky. They haven't seen the light in a long, long time. The waves are high. The devil's bidding high for their soul. But as days went by, the apostle stood out there and he said, I've got something to say this morning. And he told them, in verse 20, said, the scripture said, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on, and all hope that we could be saved was then taken away. It was dark, and that's right where the devil wants to put every individual. Damn every lost soul and discourage every Christian that he could ever discourage. And tell them this morning that your loved ones will never get in. Your children will never get saved. That one that you've prayed for and fasted for. But I'm telling you, we lose sight of how great our God is. Our little problems and our little battles down here are so small and amount to nothing. My text is found down in verse 29. It said, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And then up here in verses 23 through 25, you'll find some statements that Paul made, and I'd like to use those as those four anchors that we need to cast out. The first anchor, I'll just give them to you, and then if I get all mixed up and tangled in my harness before I get through, you'll have that. Then when the Lord calls you to preach and you're desperate for something, maybe you'll think of this little simple outline and you can use it. But the first anchor is that of witness or that of assurance when he said, the angel of God stood by me. And the second anchor is that he said, can't see without my glasses, can't hardly see with them. He said, whose I am, and that's the anchor of ownership. And then the third anchor was whom I serve, the matter of service. And then on down there in verse 25, the anchor of faith. For he said, I believe God. Father, would you touch us and help us today and touch this crowd? If there'd be somebody here this morning with a crushing, heavy load. We pray, Heavenly Father, they'd bring it to Calvary, roll it over on you, and let you have your way. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you get out on a vessel, and it doesn't have to be a large one, but if you're going to secure it in a certain place, it's necessary to get the anchors out. For one anchor, it may hold it, but it may swish around in various ways. But he said, we cast four anchors, and I would presume that those would be somewhat at the corners of the ship. That first anchor that I'd like to talk about this morning is that anchor of witness, or that anchor of assurance. For the angel of God stood by me. I think you're somewhat like I am. You appreciate the assurance and the witness as you walk along that God gives to your heart. Whenever I'm traveling on a trip, it's an assurance to me when I look up, and if it's on Highway 50 and there's just that little old sign in the night, Highway 50. There have been those times when I was traveling and I looked over and I was on one road, I thought, but that little sign said something else. Uh-oh. And so I had to turn around maybe several miles and drive back in to the town in which I lost, and I found out maybe that as that road, that highway came through town, it jogged over this way for a little ways and then headed on out. But I didn't jog. I just kept going. And so it was good that I run onto that sign out there that let me know that I was on the wrong road. But how good it is this morning to have let that anchor of witness, or that anchor of assurance, down that assures us this morning that we're on the right road. Through the fog and the spiritual fog and murkiness of the atmosphere and the confusion of our day, and there's so many voices in this hour and so many doctrines and individuals that are finding a different way. There was somewhat of a young couple there in camp the other night, but way back up the way somewhere they came, but somewhere back up the way they found a different way. They found an easier way. They've gone with the charismatic crowd today, and they're no longer. They were raised in holiness homes. Both of those people were raised in holiness homes, but they're raising their children in a different way this morning. In Hebrews 6 and 11, it said, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promises." That in full assurance of faith, hold on to that unto the end. There can be a spirit of slothfulness, a spirit of laziness, if you please, going through the same routine until after a while, if we're not careful, we begin to lose our hold upon the anchor of assurance, and we don't want to do that. In Hebrews 10:21, he said, "In having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near," or nigh, "with a true heart in full assurance of faith." We don't have to come this morning wondering if God is going to hear us and wondering if God is going to accept us. We don't have to come with any question mark whatsoever, but God desires that we come in full assurance of faith, trusting God and believing God. I want to challenge you this morning, you can believe God. And for that loved one or that prayer that you're praying, this morning. Don't give in to the enemy. Don't give doubt or give place to doubt and an unsettled testimony, but reach the place through the aid of the Holy Spirit in helping you to pray until you reach that place, until you come out on top believing God, not looking at the circumstances. That sight, that's not faith. But faith is looking to the promises, and faith is looking to God. He said also there in Hebrews, he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now I realize there may be some times that maybe we thumb through the promises and they're still there and they're available for us. And we may say, well, I'm applying this to my situation. And I don't know just all how that may work out for you. But I am confident of this one thing, that whenever God gives you a promise in regard to any given situation, then you can rest assured that that's going to work out for you in the way that would be pleasing unto him. In 1 John, in regard to this anchor of witness, 1 John 5 and 9, he said, if we receive the witness of men, and we do every day, I mean in full assurance and in confidence and whatever maybe the doctor has to say or the various ones. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Now I believe that's speaking primarily to the experience of grace that God has given us. Whenever we've reached the place of faith and believing God, then God gives a witness down on the inside of our heart that bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Well, the second anchor over on another corner of that ship is that anchor of ownership. For Paul said, talking of God, he said, whose I am. Isn't it wonderful this morning to not be our own? Isn't it wonderful to be in the hands of God? Isn't it good this morning that he has assumed responsibility for us? As long as we hold on to something, we're responsible for it. And it might be a bigger job than what we could handle. But whenever God assumes responsibility for us in all aspects, why then that's good. He tells us in his word why he owns us. He said in Acts 20:28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's different things in that scripture that stands out to me. The fact that talking about the flock of God, and that's us. And then it talks about over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And that's what the Holy Spirit has done with Brother Ziegler. He's our overseer this morning. And he's in that position, I realize, by your vote, but by your vote under the direction of God and by the blessed Holy Ghost. And then he said to feed the church of God. And there again, that's us, which he hath purchased. Amen. The anchor of ownership this morning, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I tell you, it means something to be covered by the blood and to be purchased by him. Can a thing be valued by its price? I realize not always, but I tell you a lot of times, it is. And in this case, with the flock and with the church of God, with the family of God, with us as his people, we're of value this morning. And I can prove it by the price tag, by what he paid. purchased us with his own blood. So we're worth something this morning. That third anchor is that of service. He said, whose I am. In Romans 6 and 18, he said, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. It's good this morning to serve God. We take a lot of things for granted. If you knelt before the Lord in prayer, you maybe took that for granted. If you look to the Lord and look to his word in Sunday school class this morning, but we're yielding our servants unto righteousness. He said, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. I'm glad for the anchor of service this morning, which we can serve God. It's a privilege to serve him. One time we served another master. One time we yielded our members to serve in a different way. But now then, we're doing it to honor God and to glorify him. And then that last anchor, the anchor of faith. He said, I believe God. That's such a simple statement and such an easy statement that we just stagger over it and that we think that maybe it can't be true and it wouldn't work unless we can struggle and work ourselves up into a sweat. But he had already in prayer that morning in the assurance that when the angel came and the assurance of God that everything was going to be all right, and how good it is when we have that anchor of faith this morning. He had the faith that he was for himself. God had witnessed to him, Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. You're not going to drown like the devil's told you out here in the midst of the ocean, but you're going to stand before Caesar. Then he had faith that morning for those that sailed with him. He said, everybody, if they stay on board here and follow the plan, everybody's going to be saved. You say, but preacher, somewhere through the discouragement and through the battle, through the toil, I begin to let the anchor rope slip through my fingers. I don't know. I'm in the fog. I don't know that I believe in God for myself. Certainly not in any position to believe God for others. Somehow the anchor rope has slipped away. In Romans 10 and 8, he said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What he was saying was, it's not a matter of works. It's not a matter of coming from a different angle. It's not a matter, he said, of bringing Christ down or bringing Christ up. But it's there and it's present and we can claim it. He said in Romans 8 and 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? What can we say to these things? He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if he gave us heaven's best, how much more would these lesser things, would he just send and ship them out our way? If God be for us, if he be for us, he asked that question. Then he asked the other question, the word does, who can be against us? I want us to stand this morning. Esther, would you come, please, and let's... Could we sing that chorus or that song, "There's Room at the Cross for You"? Maybe somebody else can start it. If you've got a need this morning, the altar's open. There's room at the cross for you. Something, Esther, a little bit here. Someone else might want to come. I'm glad we could come to Calvary, unload the heavy load, the heavy burden, whatever it might be. He knows all about it this morning. Bless His name. What about that song, "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God"? If you've got a need, if you've got a burden, come on this morning. Praise God. Glory to God. Yes. You will notice we say brother. Season of prayer. That'll be our closing prayer as we pray for these that have knelt this morning. God can meet their need and